it's not unreasonable to anticipate that the current contracted rate of impact fee calculations are completed and those fees may see a reduction. The 2015 review, as the most recent action of the Common Council related impact fees, you actually adopted a fee lower than the study allowed it to be, which suggests the Common Council prefers a cautious approach to setting of the fees. So suspending an automatic increase falls in line with that. And then when you look at the increase that's happened over time, if you take that 5% increase for 2016, 17, 18, 19, and recognize they compound on each other, that means they've increased 21.5% since 2015, and an automatic increase in 2020 would bring that up to 27.6%. Whereas over that same period, the CPIU has gone up 15.5%. The producer price index has gone up 16.5%. The Bureau of Labor and Statistics price index for new single-family housing under construction has only, they have two measures of that, and they've gone up 19.6 or 18.7. And one of the major cost construction indexes, something in the construction industry called the RS Means Construction Cost Index. Those have only increased just around 16%. So that being the case, not increasing another 5% this year would not impact its tracking economic factors related to construction. There is one arguably valid purpose for not suspending the automatic increase. A number of the fees are experiencing revenue streams that are insufficient to pay for the principal and interest on money borrowed to fund projects already completed. For example, the transportation facility impact fee is currently approximately $270,000 behind on debt payment obligations, and the library facility impact fee is behind over $900,000. And the law enforcement impact fee is over about $1.5 million behind. The problem, however, is that those impact fees are falling behind expectations development. It suggests that the development reality has not paralleled the development pattern expected within the setting of the fees. So back when those fees were last set, a significant component of the problem may be that the nature and the allocation of the cost within their calculation was wrong. Back when it was those fees were set, for example, the transportation facility needs assessment assigned 46% of the allocated share of future growth costs to institutional development and around 25% each to industrial and commercial development and only 5.6% to residential development. So since more of our growth in the last few years has been impacting some residential, we've had a lot of that, they're actually paying an inordinate share from what was expected. So the problem is the method of calculation. So in allowing the increase to occur this year, one could argue actually exacerbates that problem. And so it's reasonable to consider suspending that increase to let the study be completed to get the method of calculation to more reflect development and growth patterns so that you're actually collecting the right amount from the right forms of development. And that's what the new study will do. So that sort of summarizes the rationale for doing it. I will point out in the, I'll discuss that in the ordinance itself as to a issue about the form of the ordinance. And then part three, it incorporates the municipal code, primarily some amendments to 2017 Wisconsin Act 243. Those are items that we really have to build in. The state adopted a number of sections that changes our ability to collect it, our ability for the term that we can retain it, the ability of a developer to defer payment, and a variety of components. And all of those are incorporated, most of those are incorporated in the ordinance. I say most because not every component of each section of state statute has to be incorporated directly within our municipal code. Otherwise, our municipal code would simply repeat the entire state statute. So what I did was make sure the factors that were significant in nature and already reflected in our code were carried forward. such as the ability for a developer to defer payment. Whereas the whole section in state statute of the standards that have to apply when you evaluate your codes, none of those were currently reflected in our municipal code, so those weren't rolled into the ordinance modification. So the pieces of the state statute change that were necessary to reflect the structure of our ordinance and to ensure proper communication of those things most impacting the people who would use that ordinance were included. So all of those are done. I will note under the public hearing that in the notice and once in the report, I do believe there was a typo that referenced Municipal Code 92.9- Section N when it should have said L. The rest of the language and statute and the write-ups all had the proper information, but there was a typo in two places that were corrected in the notice included in your binder, I believe. So without any questions, that summarizes. Oh, I'm supposed to note also the study did have a note on page 38 that there was a clarification needed on whether April 3rd, 2018 versus April 4th, 2018 was the proper date to use, and the city attorney has clarified that and said it's April 5th. So that correction of April 5th needs to be put into the ordinance change that you will address later, and the state requires that may make an impact on a statement on impact on affordable housing within the study. And that is included as required by statute, and there's no impact anticipated on affordable housing.
So, Mr. Liberta, people in the audience may have thought your presentation a little dry. We need to make it a little drier and read the notice. Alderman, Madam Clerk, you want to do that or Mark will?
Sorry, I forgot to do that out of the get-go.
And since you forgot, you can do it.
All right.
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Tuesday, January 7, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Lemus Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, to hear public comment regarding a proposed ordinance to amend 929 of the Municipal Code of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, pertaining to impact fees upon land development pursuant to Section 66.0617 of the Wisconsin statutes to exempt public schools from the application of and the requirement for payment of each of the various impact fees to suspend effective January 1st, 2020, the automatic annual rate increases for each of the various impact fee rates imposed under 92.9 of the Municipal Code, pending completion by a city consultant of a broader public facility needs assessment, and to incorporate in the Municipal Code amendment to Wisconsin Statute 66.0617, including those related to collection and disbursement of impact fees pursuant to 2017 Wisconsin Act 243. This public hearing is being held pursuant to requirements of Wisconsin Statute 66.0617 sub 3. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed ordinance to amend 929 impact fees in the Municipal Code, as aforesaid, together with a copy of the public facility needs assessment pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 66.0617 sub 3 and 4B, are available and open for public inspection by the public in the office of the City Clerk at Franklin City Hall. During normal business hours, the proposed draft and ordinance is subject to revision following public hearing and to further consideration by the City of Franklin Common Council, including but not limited to revisions modifying the automatic annual rate increase. Dated this fourth day of December 2019, Sandra Wazalowski, City Clerk.
Okay, so this is a public hearing. Let me give you the three points real quick. Exempt public schools from requiring them to pay impact fees. Suspend the 5% automatic increase effective January 2020, and incorporate the state-required language changes into our ordinance. With that, we'll open the public hearing on this matter. Is there anyone wishing to speak? Anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Okay. Oh, Mr. Rotzenberg as staff or as individual?
As an individual. Name's Paul Rotzenberg, 6713 West River Point Drive here in the city of Franklin. Just for the purposes of the public, I'm also serve as the director of finance and treasurer for the city. There's three items in front of you this evening in this particular ordinance. There should be no issue with making the city's ordinance comply or in alignment with state statutes. I don't see how anyone can possibly argue with that particular issue. The second point being the suspension of the 5% increase. Director of Administration pointed out that several of the impact fees are not keeping up with the debt service that's been incurred to support other public infrastructure which was previously completed, and thus the taxpayers of the city have had to front those monies for a number of years. And so the suspension of this will potentially exacerbate that problem. I am in favor of this as long as the impact fee study does get completed in the near future. But this particular study was last done in 2002, and here we are in 2020, and the city has not yet completed the revision to take a look at these complications that the Director of Administration has talked about. So we can only look to ourselves for part of this problem. But lastly, the other issue before you is the item number one, which is the exclusion of a particular class of property from the subjection of the impact fee. And I'll bore you with a little bit of a story that the Public Policy Forum published, must be more than 10 years ago, talking about taxation and the imposition of government fees on organizations. And in that little story, they talked about one fairly wealthy person amongst a large community. And the community kept on talking about various parties that were economically disadvantaged, so they excluded them from the taxation or the public support for the public need. And eventually what was really left was the one person with very deep pockets in the community that had to pay for all this support. And eventually that person said, well, why should I pay for all of it when everybody else has been excluded? And that person decided to go to a different community and said, I'm going to leave. Here we have ourselves a developer who is complaining that they have to participate in the cost of infrastructure necessary to support future development. And the whole idea behind impact fees is that new development will pay for the cost of the infrastructure necessary to support it. In this case, the public schools are complaining about having to pay for a water impact fee primarily. There are other smaller fees, but the fee in question here is the water impact fee. They built a new school, and the city is going to have to provide public fire protection by way of additional support of water storage and the capacity to produce water should that facility require fire protection. Our impact fee is designed to help provide that infrastructure. And there are other public institutions which may build facilities in this city, and there will be future schools that have to be built in the city that will require fire protection that the water system is going to have to provide. The water impact fee is designed to cover the cost of that additional infrastructure for those facilities. I don't know of a developer who comes into the city of Franklin who likes to pay impact fees. I had a developer in my office not so long ago that said, Franklin's impact fees are some of the highest in the area. They are. Our impact fee study needs to examine that and take a look at, are they appropriate for what we need? But to begin to exempt individual classes of property from the development fees that we believe are important to provide that infrastructure is not good public policy. And I would urge you to reject that portion of the ordinance. Thank you.
Tom Taylor, 7014 Elroy Court, Franklin. I hadn't intended on speaking on this issue, but I thought Paul did an excellent job with his presentation just now. But I made a mistake, Steve, of buying new furniture and then having to move the furniture in the basement, so now I have to clean out the basement. And as a result of that today, I came across an article that was written by Anissa Johnson back in 2003, and the article was that Franklin, largest population growth, I think it was 14.7%. There was a time, and I'm sure you remember, where we were literally doing everything possible to try and slow down development because we were the fastest growing community in the state of Wisconsin, by far. And then 2008 hit, and that we had global collapse, and the world turned from building single-family homes to people becoming urban dwellers. The reports and the studies that were done at that time in no way could have ever foreseen that type of change that occurred. Franklin, I think, at one time had 41 different subdivisions going on simultaneously. I mean, it's hard to imagine that today. So I just throw that out as a little bit of history so you understand that. It wasn't that the studies were incorrect. It's just that the entire world and the economy changed so radically.
Did you get the furniture moved?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Anyone else wishing to speak?
I got the man here.
Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else rise, I'll close the public hearing on this matter. Questions from the Common Council? Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I had kind of the same idea as Paul. I had a couple of questions, and I'm wondering why we're suspending the 5% when we have the paragraph that we're not... we have insufficient to pay the principal and interest on money borrowed for projects, and why we would go ahead and reduce that 5% with that in mind that's stated here and prior to having the impact fee study. Now, I did hear all the comments saying that you thought it would likely result in that, but I think if we're already having problems paying, maybe we should just leave that in there until the impact fee study comes back and maybe change that percentage at that time instead of ahead of time. And the other question that I had was this impact fee, could you, Mr. Lurie, could you name the different impact fees for the people in the audience and what we're collecting and which ones would be subject to the 5% decrease or 5% that wouldn't be allowed to increase if we made that change?
These aren't the statutory names, but I believe it's we generally generally refer to them. And Paul, jump in if I miss one, please. But it'd be parks, transportation, library, police, fire, and water. The only one that wouldn't be is the Southwest, which sanitary is sewer.
Okay, so two of those obviously are the two that are listed in here that are already behind. Police and fire, I think that's important to continue to fund them. And I wouldn't know why we would want to decrease that one. And then water, I know we're going to be looking at possible new infrastructure for water. Aren't we going to need additional funds for that? And wouldn't it be wise to continue to grow that in this manner? No one's really looked at it before. And we've been accumulating it. Why, you know, it hasn't been a big issue for people up until this point. So would it be wise to just leave that one? Can we selectively do that, or can it, you know, can you just say, oh, we're going to reduce the park, we're not going to collect the 5% increase on parks, but for those we're going to keep the 5%. Is that something we can do, or do we have to just flat out say no, 5% on everything?
I believe that the Common Council will have the ability in the ordinance to based upon how it was published and it was specifically noticed that the council may alter that percentage. I believe you could work within that range as long as I think if the city attorney would have to agree that the change did not deviate so substantially from between where it is now and what was proposed that you're really outside the scope of the agenda item. But it was noticed that the ordinance it was a draft ordinance and that the final action by the council could differ from this. So if you left the 5% in one, two, or three of the fees and took it off the other ones, or if you changed the 5% to another number, I think those are all reasonable considerations under the posted agenda item.
So the only one that we know we have actually accumulated more than we've been able to use, and maybe I'm not correct in this, so correct me if I'm wrong, is the park fees, which are accumulated in $4 million in park impact fees. So that one, it sort of makes sense, since how we have a hard time coming up with the match to spend those impact fees. And we seem to just be in always such a big hurry instead of implementing a plan to hurry up and try to spend those before they expire. For example, you know, the rush to put 8 pickleball courts in Pleasant View Park so we can hurry up and spend the money, which I don't think is very well advised. But that seems to be what we do. So that one I can justify in my mind. I don't know how the rest of you feel on that. But police, fire, library, and you know, I'm not sure that we should do that. As far as with the school board, can we, I read this section where it said the intent wasn't for, the school would not be subject to impact charges unless there's enlargement in student population or staff. Maybe there's a compromise on this one. We can exempt them from remodels and replacing existing. And then when there are new schools built, that is a consideration, because I think the finance officer made a very valid point. Putting in a brand new school is you know, quite an impact, and a different situation. But when you're, you know, maybe adding on, or like, you know, like tore down the one school, putting up another school, and not really changing it that much, maybe we could give some flexibility in that. Is it that one a flat across the board, you have to do it, or can we just apply it for just brand new schools?
I think that would be more challenging to do, because if you look at those original statements where it talks about the growth, so just like we do with businesses, say we have a business that starts and builds something that expects so many people or has so much water usage, and then they're bringing in a new business comes into the same building with something that creates a lot more demand, even though it's the same building, they will pay an additional impact fee based upon the difference, based upon that growth. So, and a remodel of a school that includes new area to accommodate additional staff and additional students is arguably not any different in impact than a new school that's dealing with that new population growth and new staff growth. So the impact fees that they were charged, I believe, I don't have the calculation methodology in front of me, but I believe it was based upon just the growth. They didn't pay for the whole new school. You pay for the growth, I believe.
Okay, and you don't have an estimate on that?
Of the specific rates?
But what the amount was.
I do. I did not bring it because I was treating this as a more of a generic ordinance that's applying to all school districts and all circumstances, and not a specific statutory change addressed targeting one thing. So I do have that information. I don't have it with me this evening.
And the last point I have is I know that Steve Taylor was sitting over there about out of his chair at you at wanting to know when this was coming back, and he's not here tonight. So I know it's the larger impact study he's interested in, but this is making changes on that 5% that are affecting what the unfinished impact study would be telling us. So I just thought I'd bring that up. I don't know where he stands.
When the new study is done, you will redo this ordinance, redo this hearing for the results of the study at that time, and you'll set the fees at that time, and I imagine you will reevaluate your methodology for determining or setting annual increases, just like was done in 2013 when the Southwest Sanitary Sewer one was set, where you didn't include it in the annual 5% increase, you set it up under a separate standard.
And as far as I know, I think last February, so almost a year ago, that was supposed to come back last February. So are we going to make this change and then we're going to turn around in another month or so? We're going to be redoing it again? Or why can't we just table it until we get the study back and do it all at once? It just seems like, you know, why are we doing this now if we know we have the study coming back?
Because we were already having to have a report and a public hearing, a new public facility needs study and a public hearing on this at the Common Council direction to include the schools. And because the study was delayed and far more than one time, numerous of the aldermen indicated at meetings that they were anxious for the study to happen because they were looking to see our fees reduced. I took it, frankly, upon myself to provide that opportunity to not increase them further if the expectation voiced in public meetings by more than half of the aldermen was that they expected the results of the study to be reducing the fees. So it did not seem appropriate to me when I had an opportunity right in front of me by writing an extra couple of pages to give you the opportunity to say, let's not increase the fees further if we're considering sometime this year, probably in the first half of the year, resetting those fees based upon a completed study. So,
and that does make sense, except for when I hear the fact that we're not making up enough in library and you know, in the police. So
yeah, but if you look at the amount collected in each of those fees per year, and I wish I brought that calculation, but I did do it, and Paul, we discussed it. I don't.
It's in their package because it's. It's on the impact page of the financial report and the multiple.
So, but if you look at the amount of collections for those fees in a given year, and look at the 5% difference, and then look at say another 6 months. For each of those fees, you're talking about, I believe it was in the neighborhood of $2,500 to $5,000 of potentially lost revenue over the next 6 months. Now, in total to our fund, that is not a dramatic amount. According to the deficit that the new study will say how to address over the coming years, that's a very small amount. For those few permit holders who have to pay that extra 5%, it was a more significant amount. So that is one reason I didn't go into that in great deal in the document itself, but that was one reason I felt comfortable recommending it, because that 5% difference for 6 months over those individual fees was a small amount compared to the total amount of the differences. And given that the state statute requires that we try to have them set as reasonable as possible compared to the impact caused by that, and we already noticed that one of the reasons the deficit has happened is because our pattern of development isn't matching the nature of the fee collection set in the original statute, any across-the-board increase would exacerbate the potential disparity between the people paying the fee and how it should be based. So that's why I felt comfortable recommending that it is reasonable for this council to consider suspending those fees, particularly in light of the six different measurements I gave you in the last 5 years, the increase we've had in rates from 2015 through 2019 more than covers the increase in development costs from 2015 through 2020. So you're already at a rate sufficient to keep pace with the development growth over the last half decade. So all of those factors suggested that yes, it's nice to have the increased amount, but to do it for a short term when we have a new study that will ensure it's tied to the statutory standard of appropriateness to the to the developer, I felt it was reasonable to make that recommendation.